Thank you, Ms. Dotson. Also 10 o'clock on July 16th, 17th, 16th. And we're calling this special meeting to order. So let's rise and do the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we have a quorum. All five members of the board are here. Excuse me. So all public comment obviously is just on the agenda item for today, the one agenda item. There's no one here in the building. Ms. Dotson, is anyone on Zoom?
Yes, Crosby and Laura Swartz.
Okay. Crosby, we happen to have your written public comment here. If you would like to read it, you can do that, or I would have no problem reading it so other people that might wind up watching this meeting would know what it is that you had to say. Right. So I'll give you that option if you wish.
I'm happy to read it and everything.
Are your board members okay with this?
Yeah, he's ready.
All right, go right ahead, Crosby.
Okay, good morning, President Farmer and members of the board. The draft resolution 32-2026 before you today is lacking information about what board action is needed in subsequent years to authorize the district to abate hazardous weeds and rubbish on private property at the owner's expense. All the current actions that you're taking today, with the exception of the formal public hearing, should be taken every year, regardless of whether the weeds have been declared seasonal and recurring. The annual updated list of non-compliant parcels should be made public at a board meeting. A description of the steps the district plans to take should be made public. The intent to mail code 14900.6 postcards to non-compliant property owners, the intent to employ district weed abatement contractors, and the billing procedures should be made public at a board meeting every year. We recommend adding this missing information to the draft resolution to avoid giving the impression that future actions are being taken against property owners without the knowledge of the board or the public. Thank you for your consideration of this matter.
Thank you so much, Crosby, for your interest and your concern and your comment.
President Farmer, we have one more.
Okay.
Patrick Ferguson.
All right, Mr. Ferguson, go right ahead.
Hello, I was just curious if the lot I own in Cambria was complying with the weed abatement.
I don't know if we can give you a direct answer on that at this time.
President Farmer, all I can say, if we take a look at his parcel number and cross-references it with the 117 parcels that are on this list, if he finds his parcel number on this list, then it was found to be non-compliant. If it's not on this list, it passed inspection.
Is that a sufficient answer, Mr. Ferguson?
Yes, that would be fine.
Thank you so much. So let's move on to this hearing and appeal, item 3A, and General Manager McElhaney, if you would introduce this item, please.
Absolutely. Thank you, President Farmer. Agenda item 3A, public hearing to discuss and consider adoption of resolution 32-2026, ordering abatement of public nuisance for the fire hazard fuel reduction program, known as the FHFRP. The fiscal impact on the CCSD is limited to paying the district's contractor abatement charges and personal time and processing inspections and billings. These costs are then recovered from the property owners by billing for reimbursement plus administrative fees. Property owners whose parcels on the contract abatement list will be billed for service rendered by the district's contractor plus this $100 to $200 administrative fee, depending on when the payment is received. Funds not recovered through this billing process will be placed on the county's tax roll for the fiscal year 26-27. Per the health and safety code requirements, notice to destroy weeds and remove debris were sent to the owners of the 1901 parcels, which were identified and noticed for weed abatement this year. Many of these parcels were abated by parcel owners and or their personal contractors prior to the inspection of the deadline. And as you've noticed, we are down to 117 parcels. And when I first started in 2023, obviously that was a bad year for us, but we were upwards of 500 to 700. And that number, through the diligence of the fire chief and our public outreach, has declined over the last 3 years significantly, as represented by the 117 parcels out of the 1900 this year. And with that, you have the staff report in front of you, and I'll turn it over to the board.
All right, board members, do we have any comments on this? Do we have any comments on this particular item? I just want to make one comment that for the most part, I think we can thank General Manager McElhaney for taking the initiative about 3 years ago to really address this issue, because so many, what was it, 500 or 600 parcel owners had not complied. And so he just made it difficult for people to not comply and have the consequences as a result, with a very costly work being done by our contractor. So it's nice to know that, I mean, 117 people from 500 to 600 is quite a compliment. Like I say, I think General Manager McElhaney and Fire Chief Berkey are probably the main folks that are responsible for them. So thank you.
Thank you. I do have one note on the resolution, and maybe Mr. Hirsch can help us on how we correct that verbally, but the date is incorrect. Where's that?
It's on paragraph 4 of the resolution. After whereas a public hearing to consider all objections or protests if any to be proposed abatement of weeds pursuant to section 14898 of the Health and Safety Code was held by the board, it should be corrected on July 16, 2026 and not July 17, 2025.
I see.
When we get to the action to make a motion to adopt the resolution, that motion should include adopting it with the correction to that whereas clause as it relates to the date.
Any comments? Yes, Director.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to Chief Berkey and just ask how did it go this year?
Thank you for, it went remarkably well. And a lot of that is attributed to Matt's, being able to provide us with the funding to increase and enhance our, inspection system with Esri. It's been phenomenal. And our crews were out there for the one day. Normally it takes them close to a week to do all of this work. And so we did extend it a little bit to make sure that we, were diligent about checking the lots. And since this was the first time using this system, we wanted to make sure that we were being exceptionally thorough. And it worked seamlessly. Every report that I got back from our crews said that they went out, and we with the Starlink application, we didn't have any civil service issues, and it was phenomenal. So thank you so much for that. And I just implemented the program that was given to me, and so I'm very thankful to the board and to our general manager for providing that for us.
And we entered into that contract with Ezra. I can't remember, was it a year and a half ago? And so that system is much more fine-tuned. So we did have a lot of issues with property lines and, billing people whose property wasn't well. So Esri connected with Starlink has been able to really a lot more precise on our lot management with these parcels, and a lot less mistakes. And fingers crossed this year, we won't have any issues.
Right. And we're still in it. So, and the next step is giving, I just had, I talked to North Coast Tree Service, and they're getting signed up, and I'm working with them to get them into the system. Mm-hmm. So when they go out, it's literally what they did was Esri was able to take all of the failed lots, put that on one map layer. So that's all they see is just the lots that were failed, and that's it. So they go in there and they're going to edit them, and it's so seamless and easy. Looking forward to seeing how that whole process finishes up, but I'm really excited about it, and I think they are too. Yeah. So,
good. Another question actually about the designation of seasonal recurrent nuisances. Is that new Have we done that? Because we have done that in the past specifically about certain parcels that are, I assume you're talking about parcels that have repeat problems every year. But how is that designation made?
And is that
is this
section
is this health code section 49, you know, 14900 in the
I believe
yeah.
we've included that in the resolution in the past. How
Yeah.
it's been implemented or whether it's been utilized for particular lots, I can't really speak to that. But by including that in the resolution, it gives the option to do it that way.
No, okay. So that's, see, I guess I was wondering, and we haven't done it. We haven't actually had a special action on these lots or designation, but I guess if it's in the wording allowing us to do it. But I guess hypothetically, and maybe it's a question for this time around, if we're serious about it, is there kind of a standard for determining it? Like somebody's been on the list of parcels that didn't pass inspection for, say, the last 3 years or something like that. Or is there some way to implement that through a formula?
I'll try to answer
yeah.
it. So you mean if they've repeatedly not
yeah,
passed
like inspection? How would you get that designation? I don't think we ever actually gone into the implementation of it. I think that's what David's saying.
Well, I think based on this resolution and some of our newly adopted ordinance, it's given the chief the authority to inspect these year round.
Right.
And Mr. Hurst can correct me if I'm wrong, but in this fire hazard fuel reduction program and being able to take it and apply it to the tax rolls is limited to this one item.
Mm-hmm.
But subsequently, the chief can go out and inspect problem parcels outside of this window
mm-hmm.
and then enforce it through the administrative citation program.
Okay.
Is that correct, Mr.
That's correct. And we've, by adopting the ordinance that was adopted last year, we've created additional tools to address weeds and have the citation program to complement that. But what we're doing now, and this, to be honest, also goes toward responding to the point that Mr. Schwartz brought up. We're following an annual process. And this is all statutory. We're authorized by a provision in the government code that expressly applies to community service districts, government code section 61100T, that authorizes the district to follow these provisions in the health and safety code as its weed abatement process, which we call the fire hazard fuel reduction program, but it's basically weed abatement. And we're following the statutory procedure, which allows us to put those lots where we have to go and have the work done by the contractor on the tax rolls for collection. And some property owners choose that route, I guess, to keep the weeds cleared from their property. But we're following an annual process. That process has various milestones. I think it was May that the district adopts a resolution declaring weeds to be a nuisance. The notices are sent. The general manager mentioned there were 1,900 notices. The notices have to have very specific language in them. I think they require inch-high letters when it comes to the notice, and the date of the this hearing is articulated as well in the notices. And we're following a statutory procedure. So the question of what happens in future years, we're going to follow the same procedure. In 2011, I actually wrote a step-by-step guide to weed abatement that laid out all these procedures. And I'm not sure if the fire department is still utilizing that step-by-step guide, but I know they put together an annual calendar to implement the process. And that's what we're doing. This is the last step as far as being able to give property owners an opportunity to object. And then after the public hearing is concluded and any objections are overruled, and it doesn't look like we have any, then the district acquires jurisdiction to go and have the work done. And then subsequently we can put those costs on the tax bill if they're not otherwise paid. And I know in the past, the district has adopted policies relating to waiving some of the administrative costs if it's paid prior to having to go to the step of putting it on the tax rolls. So this is an annual process, and we'll be doing it again next year.
And it's, of course, separate from anything that's being done now on and developed lots, which is the defensible
correct.
Space ordinance. And
correct.
Yeah. So that obviously.
And then again, we can enforce even on these non-developed parcels outside of this window. We
right.
just do it through this the next
right.
mechanism, which is the administrative citation program.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. And it's Tim Radecki, right? The
correct.
Those, yes. Well-known name in Camarillo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Director Gray. Thank you, Mr. Hirsch. It sounds like, you know,
Michael.
Michael, I'm sorry, but.
Reflecting on the thoughtful comments from Mr. Schwartz, all of these items he mentions, of course, have been made public and very well so by Ms. Dodson's communications frequently. But I think the point was, would it be an advantage to articulate some of the steps we have gone through within this resolution? I think that's the question.
And so
let's bring that to our legal counsel.
I don't believe that's necessary or appropriate. We have some well laid out steps we follow annually, and it's a very public process. I don't think there's any mystery about it. And even the question about which lots, I mean, there's a list attached to the resolution with the APN numbers. So I really don't think that, you know, this process today is really limited to following the statute and then authorizing the district to have jurisdiction to proceed with clearing those 119 lots, I think it was, that haven't been brought into compliance to this point. And I don't think we should muck up the process, if you will, good legal term, when it comes to what the resolution contains.
Thank you for that.
All right, thank you, Mr. Hirsch. I'd just like to ask, and perhaps Chief Berkey can answer this question, of the 117 lots that didn't pass inspection, are most of the owners of those lots living elsewhere and not in Cambria?
Yes, correct. Yeah. I don't have the exact numbers, but a majority of them are out of state.
You said out of state?
Out of state even, yes, correct.
Okay, so any other discussion among the board members here? But anybody might, yes?
I'll make motion.
All right.
I move that the board adopt resolution 32-2026 ordering abatement of public nuisance for the fire hazard fuel reduction program with two changes in the text of the recitals in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 4th paragraph. Change the date July 17th, 2005 to July 16th, 2006.
2026.
2026, yes.
And do we have a second?
Second.
Was the public hearing actually opened and closed?
He did open it. He hasn't officially closed it yet.
Okay.
I guess you have to close it. Sorry, Bobby, just go ahead.
Okay. Well, should we close it before we make the vote on the motion?
Yes.
Is that what we're saying?
I think so, before we vote, yeah. I think
okay. Well, for those of you out there in public land, we are closing this hearing. And could we have a vote on the motion, please?
Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Scott?
Aye.
Director Thomas?
Aye.
Vice President Dean?
Aye.
President Farmer?
Aye. Thank you, everyone. And it's been a brief and productive productive meeting, nevertheless. And thank you, Mr. Hirsch. And I want to thank Kathy Sports for his comments as
yes.
well.
Yes.
Everyone have a very blessed rest of the week, and let's be thinking positive thoughts for everything moving forward this summer with regard to the district.
Amen.
All right, well said.
Thanks, everyone.